Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
William D. Mace, hour number two of the show, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. First day in pads for the Tennessee Titans. D. Mace and I were on hand this morning, along with a ton of media. Some fans were out there as well. We're keeping an eye on the Olympics. You've got the team gymnastics competition going on for the women. Simone Biles right now on the uneven bars as we speak. And we'll keep an eye on that, rooting for them. Trade deadline in Major League Baseball is tonight at 5 o'clock Central, I believe. Is that right, Nick? I think it's 6 Eastern.
It's around that ballpark number, yes.
Yeah. As Nick just reported on his report, the Braves are having a reunion of the 21 World Series. They already had Eddie Rosario from a couple weeks ago picked up off the waiver wire. Now they've traded for Jorge Soleri. I can't talk today. What's my problem? Jorge Soler, who was with them before, big slugger, to try to fortify their lineup. Former Sound Frankie Montas was traded from the Reds to the Brewers today, and we await some other big moves. There's going to be some big moves in baseball coming up before the deadline for sure, but the Reds kind of on the fence post as to whether they're going for the wild card or not. It's a very crowded wild card picture right now, and so the Brewers get Frankie Montas for outfielder Joey Weimer, who also spent a lot of time with the Sounds back in the day, a former first-round pick, and a right-hander named Jacob Junis. So the Reds making a move today with the Brewers. Okay, let's get to Lloyd Cushenberry and talk offensive line, D-Mace. A couple of things he said. First of all, how about his off-season training, including hot yoga and boxing? Now, there's two pretty interesting different things.
Yeah,
I would two ends of the spectrum, getting a little bit of everything.
But I would think hot yoga was more so not to. I mean, you're gonna burn calories, but it's just like you're sweating. I thought you're using it for the flexibility. When I hear yoga or hot yoga, I don't think trying to burn calories. I think about flexibility, like better, you know, becoming leaner, obviously. But I'm thinking flexibility. So I'm sure that will, and again, you will burn calories because you're sweating, but you typically you just put it back in once you drink, you know, water or whatever you're drinking. That's going to get you those electrolytes back. But, you know, I think it's good for him that he's doing yoga because it helps with the flexibility, core strength. And it's good that he's, you know, chosen to take up, you know, boxing. You know, now is it a boxing coach? Is it a class? Because they have these classes here. Or is it he's going to see, like, a coach?
Yeah.
Like a specific guy or girl that teaches boxing, and it's one-on-one with you and that person. So, but either way, well, I would say if you were getting a one-on-one, that would be better because they're showing you boxing techniques, like how to slip a jab or how to put your hands up. So then it helps you while you're on the football field.
Right, because hand positioning, hand fighting is very important.
I don't see a class with 15 other people helping you do that. Because because nobody's one-on-one.
Some people do the boxing just to get the cardio, get the workout
Absolutely.
In. It's a great workout.
And it's not necessarily for technique.
Right.
What he's talking about, I visualize it as being one-on-one with an individual that has taught other boxers. So they're teaching you technique. So, but it's good. Anything you can do to try to get that edge legally Anything that you could do legally,
yes,
that can give you that edge, then you do it. Like, you know, we used to, back in the day, you know, I remember the big thing was Herschel Walker taking dance class. You know, it wasn't common for athlete to take dance classes, but it helped him with his flexibility and everything else. And then subsequently, you start seeing more guys sort of venture off and do other things that were sort of outside the box.
Thinking outside the box is a good thing. Speaking of legal, just repeating the top story, if you didn't hear it, Arden Key suspended. Looks like he's on the verge of being suspended officially for 6 games. So the Titans are going to lose an edge rusher. But let's get back to a couple other things at Cushenberry, just to illustrate what he's going up against, right? Here are all the things as to why you can't worry too much about these early practices. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a work in progress. Here's Cushenberry, pretty highly paid center, coming in, and he said the terminology on this offense is completely different than what he had in Denver. So there's that. He's also has to serve as a mentor to the two very young first-round picks to his left, Peter Skoronski, who he paid a lot of compliments to, but Skoronski's only 22 years old. Then you got J.C. Latham at 21 at the left tackle. So you've got to lead those guys in a brand new offense. And then you've got the complete competition, which is wide open. And Brian Callahan saying today, it's going to take a while to sort out that competition. So that can't be easy for a highly paid center who is coming in to stabilize the offensive line. As they say in Bull Durham, we're dealing with a lot of bleep.
Yeah. And
that's remember they had the meeting on the mound?
And that's what they're dealing with.
Yeah. Crash Davis, the pitching coach, goes, what's going on out here? Well, we got Billy's. Nobody knows what to get him for the wedding gift. We need to get the curse off of Jose's glove. We're dealing with a lot of bleep. I feel like that's Cushenberry right now.
Yeah, he is dealing with a lot of stuff. But listen, I'm going to say this, and it's no, you know, disrespect or anything, but listen, that's your job. It's your job.
Right. That's why they got him.
This is why they got you, Cushenberry. And he understands that. This is why they got you. Because they felt you can do the tough things. You can learn this offense the way you need to learn it. So this offense can be highly competitive. So this offense can be one of the better offenses in the National Football League. And nothing and showing no remnants of what it was the past two seasons. So you know, frankly, it's like you got a job to do, dude. And, you know, they're paying you a lot of money to do it. And everybody knows that you can do it. So there's only going to be so long that people wait for this offense or this offensive line to gel. And he did mention, you know, once we get the plan, you know, first game, we should be good by then. And he's right. But you want to make sure even in as you start to play these preseason games. And one thing I did like that he said, Willie, he said, you're talking about a guy that has, you know, been in the league, what, 5-6 years, somewhere around there. But he said he wants to play in the preseason.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand it. And that's good because an offensive line doesn't get better just by thinking about it. They don't get better by playing together half the time. They get better by playing together all the time. Time on task. That's what they need. That's what this offensive line needs. So, Cushenberry, it was good to hear him say, because veteran guys, typically, they don't like to play in preseason. It's like, man, I know what I'm doing, or I'm learning it. I don't want to take a chance of getting hurt. But in this situation, you have to put that behind you. You have to put that in the back of your mind. You got to think what's best for the team. Well, what's best for the team is all five guys together, spending a lot of time together off the field, but more importantly, on the field. So we need to establish who the five starters are going to be. And the only way we can do that is with practice and that we play together in games. It doesn't mean a lot in the preseason, but that time that we're going to have going against somebody else is valuable to this offensive line because they've been so bad the last two seasons.
We also had a discussion throughout the preseason last year. They elected, really, even though the offensive line had a lot of question marks and it looked like a line that needed to have reps, they elected not to play them
exactly.
largely in the preseason. So this is a different philosophy. I'm glad that it seems like Lloyd Cushenberry is used to doing that and prefers to play in the preseason. I feel like that will help. Like, I know there's risk that you don't want to have a guy get hurt in the preseason games, but I do think the risk-reward is worth it to get as many reps in as you can.
Well, this is a team that, you know, one, they can't afford injuries, but then they can't afford to sit back and be cautious either. They're not the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not the Buffalo Bills, even though I think Buffalo is going to come down this a little bit. They're not the San Francisco 49ers. They're not the Baltimore Ravens, where they can just say, you know what, we've been in this offense. We're good. We don't, as long as we get our practice time in together in the scrimmage, we don't need to play in the preseason game. With the Titans, y'all are not at that point yet. Y'all need all the time y'all can together. Y'all need it. So if it means we're practicing a lot together or practicing more than usual, then that's what they need. If it means they're playing more plays than usual in the preseason game, that's what they have to do, because they got to find out if this offensive line can hold up the whole season. And not just hold up, but be an integral part at what they're doing successfully. Because if they don't get this offensive line right, I don't care who they got at receiver. We saw that last year. Saw that the year before. I don't care who you have at quarterback. If the offensive line isn't right, your team isn't right.
I also think it's trial by fire for Cushenberry, because he's doing all these things and also has to block the likes of Jeffrey Simmons and Devondre Sweat at practice. So that's a challenge for sure. And you could really see it come to a head today when it got very emotional, very chippy, and there was a pylon. Like, it wasn't just a one-on-one fight. Like, no. Hey, let two guys go at it. It was like everybody was jawing with everybody.
Yeah. And
he liked that. Like, Cushenberry's like, this is okay. I like this kind of emotion. This is what it's all about. We've got to settle in. We got to know where the line is. But the early practices, I think he's trying to do his part to establish a little identity. You're trying to create something there.
But this is what I understand what Cushenberry is saying. But this is why I don't like it. Because while you're sitting there pushing, shoving, snatching helmets off, you know, throwing punches, you've missed an opportunity to have three plays. You missed an opportunity to run three plays because of all this stuff you're doing. Everybody piling in, because it's never just one. It's never just mano a mano. It's never. Everybody else has to come in, whether they're pulling people apart or whether they're trying to get in a scuffle. And it's wasting 3 to 4 plays. 3 to 4 plays, you ain't going to be able to get back. That's why I don't like it. If you get into a little scuffle, boom, it's over with. You do what you need to do quickly. It's over with in a couple of seconds. Then okay. Now we can get in between the lines, and now we can thud up and really go. But if it's taking 45 seconds, a minute, then a head coach got to come in here and talk, there is something wrong with that. You are missing valuable plays. That's 5 plays now that you've missed because the head coach had to come in. So I do think, like, y'all can't continue to have this. I understand what Cushenberry's saying. Like, you need that sort of combativeness every once in a while, but it needs to happen very quickly and move on to the next play.
I will say a caveat. It was okay for me today. It can't happen every day.
No, it can't.
But you're trying to establish yourself. I get that. It can't be happening every day. I'll meet you on that one, for
between
sure.
Between the whistles, okay. Yeah. But then after that, because, again, we've lost valuable time. That could have been 3 to 5 plays we ran, but instead the coach has to come in here and break it up. Players doing all. No, we don't need that. We're not good enough to be able to do that right now.
They need reps, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, we'll bounce around the NFL a little bit. A very interesting conversation I want to bounce off of you, D-Mace, through the wide receiver translator, but this is really going to be about quarterbacks and also the allocation of resources in the salary cap. We talked a lot yesterday about Tua and Jordan Love now joining the club among the top paid quarterbacks in the game. They are now paid like elite quarterbacks. We don't really know if they're going to be elite quarterbacks over the next 3 or 4 years. And so it creates a dilemma for teams. It's like, okay, it's either that, either you pay them the big money, or you look behind door number 2. And Door number two is like, I don't know, man. It's a lot of risk. It's like just a leap of faith. Can you find him? So we're going to talk about a couple of teams that did kind of go door number two, and we'll talk about what the options might be down the road for the Titans with this. But it's a really interesting discussion, and it's going to be a comparison of what is the better option. So we'll explain when we come back. We're going to play a clip from the MMQB podcast, which I think is always good at hitting on stuff like this, and we'll pass it through the wide receiver translator. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. Willie and D-Mace coming your way here on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here with you. Just yo-yoing back and forth from the offense to the defense, back to the offense. Talking Titans first day in pads today. Very interesting practice for sure. Emotions running high. At one point, there was a fight. You had news that Arden Key's going to be suspended for 6 days, or 6 games. This is not dull. Plenty of stories to talk about, and we're going to get into a number of them today. So let's talk about the quarterback. I want to get D-Mace's take on what he saw from Will Levis today, but let's look big picture for a moment. In the wake of Tua and Jordan Love getting enormous contracts, there was a great discussion, and we had a version of this yesterday, but this is sort of the next level, looking ahead of where things could go with Will Levis. And they call it middle-class quarterbacks. You're paying a lot of quarterbacks who are not the elite class, especially what they've done, like Patrick Mahomes, guys like that, that rare group. They're worth every penny. You can't overpay guys like that. But there are players that play quarterback that because people are scared to move on from them and there is not a great supply of them, at least there hasn't been, you tend to overpay the middle-class guys. It has really gone up in the last 12 years. Like Drew Brees was the first guy to crack $20 million. Mm-hmm. That wasn't that long ago. Now guys routinely are cracking million? $50 million. $50 million per year.
If you offer a quarterback $20 million, they'll look at you and laugh.
Yeah, so it's more than doubled now for guys that haven't won yet. They haven't won yet. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, they have one playoff win between them. Dak Prescott, another guy. So here is an interesting discussion from MMQB comparing Tua and Baker Mayfield last year. Here's Connor Orr and Albert Breer on MMQB.
Are the Bucs the smart team here, right? Are the, like, where they went and got a reclamation project and then they had to pay that reclamation project not much more than half of what Tua and Jordan Love got.
Right.
Is that the way to go now?
Like so,
what the Seahawks did with Geno Smith, because you're paying half, and that at least buys you time, the same way Alex Smith bought the Chiefs time to go find Patrick Mahomes. You know what I mean? Is that smarter than, like, paying a guy that, like, is a, like, Tua is a really good player, but is he capable of carrying a team? You know, is he capable of beating some combination of Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud in succession in the AFC playoffs? I don't know. What do you think?
Here's what an extra. So Baker Mayfield, if we're going on average salary per year, right? Tua Tagovailoa is at $53.1 million. He is currently, again, in terms of average per year salary, he is the fourth highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He got the extra $100K to leapfrog Jared Goff. Okay. Baker Mayfield is the 21st highest paid player in the NFL. He's making $33.3 million per year, essentially on kind of a pay as you go deal. He's making less than Nick Bosa, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford. All that stuff, right? So it's a $20 million difference. Yep. And I hate to phrase it this way, but this is how owners think, okay? For an extra $20 million, you're getting a 5% bump in completion percentage, 600 more passing yards, which boils down to like 1.2 yards per completion, one more touchdown, and four more interceptions. So, if you're an owner, and again, this doesn't all boil down to glamour statistics, but there's probably someone.
So, let's get the gist of what he's saying. Who is, what's a better way to go? Tua at $53 million or Baker Mayfield at $33 million, and you take that extra $20 million and address the roster? Because the Dolphins now, their offense should be good to go. But you've got now $20 less million to address other holes on your team. So how would you answer that? Like the Bucs kind of gambled a little bit. They took a Baker Mayfield that had been sort of cast off and was available for less, and Baker Mayfield kind of overachieved. So who would you rather be?
I mean, obviously, you know, because Baker Mayfield's a hell of a talent. I've always liked Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. Coming out of Oklahoma, playing in Cleveland, I didn't think that whole thing was necessarily his fault in Cleveland. They're just one of those franchises, man. It seems like nothing seems to go right with them.
Yeah, like they looking back on it, I wonder if they would rather have just kept Baker Mayfield rather than go down the whole Deshaun Watson pathway, but we'll never know now.
Yeah, so, I mean, Baker, had Baker not been on so many teams, he's been on, what, four teams, and which means the Buccaneers would have been his fourth team, or is his fourth team. I think he was almost locked into a situation where you take what we give you.
Yeah, you know, he was a bargain.
It was like, okay, you've been a journeyman. I know you were the first pick in the draft, but your career hasn't gone the way that many thought it would go. Now you're on your fourth team. You're good for us, but we're not going to pay you, you know, $40, $50 million. One, you've been in a league, what, 8 years now? So, you know, you have more years behind you than they probably think ahead. So we can afford to pay you half price because no one else is going to pay you top dollar. No one else is going to pay you $40, $50 million. That's just not the case. So you fit our team. You got a rapport with our best receiver, our best player. So we're going to keep you at this price. I don't think any other team can do that if indeed you draft a guy. If you draft your guy and say he has the career up until this point that Baker Mayfield has had, you got to pay him you got to pay him north of $50 million. Why? Because you drafted him, and he's been your quarterback for the last 4 or 5 years. So now you're almost forced, even if he's just okay. Even if he's just okay, because Tua is okay. Tua's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Is he the best?
You heard the stat comparison.
Is he the worst? No.
You heard the stat comparison.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly.
The difference between Tua and Baker Mayfield was not enough to justify him being paid $20 more million.
It's because that was their draft pick. That was Miami's draft pick.
And
they
also, let's not
forget
about the
risk. And they moved up
in
the draft to get him. He was their guy. They are almost forced to pay him. They can't let him go. Because then what are they going to do, start back over again?
See, so I'm thinking in my mind, somewhere in here, a team has got to figure out how to get the quarterback at the right value.
You can only
not
do that,
overdo it.
You can only do that, Willie, if you don't draft a guy or if he's just okay. Like, not he's okay. He's a warm body that, yeah, he's a Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is more than okay, but let's say he's just Ryan Tannehill. He's not going to give you a lot of wow, but he's not going to give you bottom of the barrel either. Those are the guys that you possibly could pay, you know, $30 million to. But if you draft a guy and he's good, you got to pay him that money.
Another example they used, you heard Albert Breer say it, is Geno Smith. Geno Smith makes only about $25 million. He's a total bargain, but
Wasn't Seattle's draft pick.
Right. These are guys that were sort of late bloomers that you find. Mm-hmm. But the advantage you have, you don't have an elite quarterback but you have way more resources to put the good roster around a guy like that. Back in the day, how many times did you hear this? Hey, their quarterback is Brad Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's not great, but if you put a great defense around him, the Tampa 2 defense mm-hmm. and Warren Sapp, you can win. Neil O'Donnell with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought Neil O'Donnell was one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but he was a good quarterback, and they had a really good team around him, and they nearly won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's hard to build your team that way. Think about Daniel Jones is another one. Daniel Jones was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Remember, they opened the season against the
Titans
2 years ago.
First quarterback taken, I think.
Yeah, in the Nashville draft of 2019. So fast forward to a couple years after that, the Giants opened the season here in Nashville, upset the Titans. Mm-hmm. But during that time, the Giants were supposed to be really, really bad. And they were like, well, I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback next year. He overachieved. Mm-hmm. They had a new coach. He had a good year. And they opened up the wallet, and they paid him a lot of money. Now they're sitting there going, man, we've overpaid for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones at the right price would be okay. He could be the Neil O'Donnell, Brad Johnson kind of guy where you're like, well, let me put a really good team around him mm-hmm. with the extra dollars, and now I can make a go of it. But instead, he's our first-round pick, and now we just paid him to be an elite quarterback. He's not.
Well, he's not an elite
quarterback. So how do I create a pocket where financially I can get more in the Baker Mayfield range, the Geno Smith range, and not just say, well, we drafted this guy, we got to pay him $50 million?
Well, the only way – it can't happen in today's football.
But because, it has to. If you're a GM, you can't survive doing it by overpaying a decent quarterback.
I understand that. But if you are a – what happens in today's NFL, if you are a decent quarterback, they're probably looking to move on from you because you're not in that top 50, that top 10, 12. Yeah. So they're looking to get in that top 10 or 12. So they're looking over here hoping that, okay, maybe we can get our top 10 or 12 quarterback in the draft. Daniel Jones, the only reason they were almost forced to pay him. And I wouldn't say he got – I mean, at the time it was a lot because of who he was as a quarterback. But you look at it now, it's not a lot of money. It's not. And – But they had to pay him. Why? Because they drafted him. If Daniel Jones would have left New York and went somewhere else, he wouldn't have gotten nowhere near the money he got in New York. But because he was New York's draft pick, the first quarterback drafted in that draft,
yes,
you almost essentially had to draft him. I mean, you had to pay him because you just coming off
like
a season.
They did, but I'm trying to challenge that. I'm challenging that thinking. So let's put it to you with Levis, because Levis could very well be in the range of a Daniel Jones. And this is not a knock at Will Levis. Mm-hmm. There are a lot worse quarterbacks out there
of course.
Than Daniel Jones. But the question is that next investment, can you find a way to get a guy at the slot that allows you to build the roster around him to be able to win? If you're paying a good quarterback elite money, you're going to run into a big problem because you're just not going to have enough money. That guy is not going to elevate the talent well enough to be able to build a championship team. Mahomes, you can have him. He's worth every penny because he's going to elevate everybody around him, and you can still win big.
And that's what people are trying to figure out when they sign these quarterbacks. And, you know, this is why there's only a handful of guys that are elite quarterbacks. And I may make some people mad here because of what I'm going to say about one guy. I think he's there because his team did go to a Super Bowl, but look at the talent around him. It was like, hell, I can put – you saw Joe Burrow, and people are going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, he doesn't think Joe Burrow is elite. Listen, I think Joe Burrow's a damn good quarterback. I wish we had him here. But you can't throw that elite moniker on someone when they have Jamar Chase, T. Higgins mixing in the backfield. Those are elite players, mm-hmm. especially Chase. Those are elite players.
And now they're having to get rid of, make tough choices
exactly
with some of those guys because they're paying Burrow.
We even saw the ultimate elite player have trouble. Why? Because his receivers wasn't catching the ball.
Yeah, next
Patrick Mahomes.
Next year,
who we believe
Burrow
is
will
elite,
not have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
Exactly.
He's going to have one of the two, probably Ja'Marr Chase.
He'll have
not
Chase
Higgins.
And not Higgins.
Yeah.
I even looked at Mahomes last season as,
and it was a struggle for him.
Mahomes is elite. But even him, he struggled. Why? Because his receivers wasn't catching the ball. You look at Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. I'm not saying that Joe Burrow isn't near that stratosphere, that air that Patrick Mahomes is at. Because Patrick is the only guy up there. There's no other guy up there. Now that Tom's gone, even Jackson, I love Lamar Jackson. He's not where Mahomes is at. Nobody's in Mahomes' stratosphere. Nobody. Until you win the Super Bowl that he's won, then you can get in that stratosphere. But now, nobody can. Joe, he's the only bona fide elite quarterback in the NFL. Everyone else is trying to get there. They're close, but they're trying to get there. Joe Burrow, as good as I think he is, we haven't seen him like do the things that Mahomes has done.
And we're going to find out.
But we're going to find out if he is truly the elite quarterback that we believe he is, yes, or ultimately will be.
And the point they made on that podcast clip that we were talking about, if you listen to the whole podcast, they get into more detail on it. But if you have the guy making $55 million,
uh-huh,
if he's not elite, you have to hit
on everything else.
On everything else. You have no margin for error. You have to draft well. Mm-hmm. You have to find great players off the street making less value. You have to make perfect choices, mm-hmm, in free agency. And I don't think that is a great model for success. And that's why I keep coming back to Will Levis. Mm-hmm. Look, it's early. I would love for us to have a discussion of whether Will Levis is in a conversation with Burrow or Tua or everything. But what if Levis is in that Daniel Jones? But he's good enough that you want to keep him, but you've got to pay him the right money. Somewhere in the next couple years, they've got to find a way to get a quarterback paid at the right slot so that a guy that this is most of the teams in the league. Mm-hmm. They don't have Patrick Mahomes, but you're still trying to win. Mm-hmm. To get a formula to win, you have to not overpay your quarterback $15 or $20 million more than he's actually worth.
Because
you've got to have that other money to address other holes.
You're absolutely right. But the Titans are going to be in this position. Do I pay or do I not pay? I think Will Levis will have a good season. Now, he's going to struggle. I think the offense is going to struggle at least to start off. But I think he will find his footing early enough that he's going to be able to show that he is their quarterback moving forward. But it only gives you a year sample size. But you, because you drafted him in the second round, you got to pay him quicker or earlier than you would a first round. And he's only been underneath center really a half a season, and not even a half a season. But if he has a good season this upcoming year, you're forced to pay him the money that you probably wouldn't have to pay him had you drafted him in the first round, because you would have had another 2 years to wait. But you don't have that now. Either you got to tag him or you're going to have to sign him eventually, because you don't have those extra years because he was a second round pick.
I don't know what we're going to be talking about next summer. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about a philosophy that a lot of teams, and I'll use the Atlanta Braves as one. The Tampa Bay Rays are one. And I realize baseball is different than football because football's got the salary cap. But the concept is the same.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Predators use it in hockey. You bet on a guy early, but you get a discount, you hope. You pay him a little bit more on the front end, but you're protecting yourself from having to overpay on the back end. And it can backfire on you. But is it something that they could consider is to jump out and sign Will Levis to a little bit more of a team-friendly slot if he progresses the way they hope he will to a degree? But they're sort of knowing that he's never going to get elite. But if he can be good and we could have him at the right price locked in long term, we could have enough resources to build a great team around him. I know that's a tough thing. We don't have a crystal ball to be able to guarantee anything like that. And I've never really seen an NFL team do that. But I just think this is a losing proposition to just say, well, this is the quarterback. I don't want to look at the alternative. So let's just overpay and keep the guy we've got. More teams are going to get burned
right.
Than not.
Yeah, you may be. I'm not saying that you're completely wrong on that.
Lawrence, yeah. Between Love and between Tua, I know they're all first-round picks, mm-hmm. and Levis is a second-round pick. But those three guys, at least one of them, it's going to be a bad buy.
And
it's not going to work out. And you're making that much money.
And you could possibly be right in that situation. I'm not saying you're wrong, but this is just the way the NFL operates right now.
Inside the box.
Yeah.
I'm saying who's going to be the team that thinks outside the box.
Well, Jerry's trying to do it a little bit, but he's still going to end up paying Dak the money he wants. Or if not, Dak's going to go somewhere else and get that money.
You better hope Trey Lance is good.
Absolutely. You better hope Trey Lance is damn good.
And maybe Trey Lance is a Baker Mayfield, a failed mm-hmm. guy in one place that is a late bloomer. Those guys are out there. They're hard to find. You can get burned going that way too. But if you can hit on a Geno Smith or a Baker Mayfield and you have a good quarterback making $20 million less than an overpaid good quarterback, you got a chance if you know what you're doing roster-wise. You got a little more margin for error to build a winning team. It's an interesting thing because I don't know if you can win the Super Bowl that way, mm-hmm. but you may not win the Super Bowl with an overpaid good quarterback either. So which is the better way to go? Let's stop on that. We'll see what – we got some people on the text line that want to weigh in on this. What if Will Levis is a middle-class quarterback? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to go? Can you win with him making the right amount of money? You have to avoid overpaying somebody like that. But look what's happening around the league. The going rate for a starting quarterback is extremely high, and they're being overpaid. 615-737-1025. We're back after this here on Willie and D-Mace. Nick just keeps trying to delay the show by playing our favorite songs. That's what happens here. I'm Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Jeffrey Simmons and what happened at practice today. He would have been ejected mm-hmm. from a game for, I don't know if I would call it a punch. We were all standing there. It was like a...
He threw a punch. He threw that punch.
Closed fists?
He threw that punch.
Forearm slap. He threw a hand across. A hand definitely came across.
Yes.
And made contact.
Exactly.
Forcefully, because he's a big dude. And it sort of got all kinds of things going. The whole practice had to stop at one point. And then there was an incident that took place
on
Radio Row, if you want to call it that, that has a lot of people saying, wait a minute now, this is the leader of the team. Is this how mm-hmm. a leader should act? We're going to get into that during the 1 o'clock hour because I think it's a fair question to put out there. Meanwhile, you've got the United States women's gymnastics team going for the gold. They're tracking pretty well from what we're watching without sound, but it's happening live right now in Paris. But that's a big thing. Simone Biles and Suni Lee and company doing the job. We're talking about middle-class quarterbacks. And if Will Levis ends up being a middle-class quarterback, how do you handle his contract situation? Do you roll the dice, not pay him big, and then go try to find the Geno Smiths of the world or the Baker Mayfields and go that route and just say, look, we're going to go cheap, but we're going to have more money, and we're not going to overpay our quarterback? Or do you try to lock him in and not overpay the way the Dolphins have now spent huge money on Tua, fourth most in the league mm-hmm. for a guy that hasn't won a playoff game yet and is a major injury risk, even though he was a high first-round pick? He's had major injuries mm-hmm. and concussions. There's a lot of risk that goes with that, and now they don't have nearly as much margin for error with the rest of their roster. Here's what some people are saying on our text line, 615-737-1025. Jeff wants to agree with you that Joe Burrow has not proven to be an elite quarterback yet. He cannot stay healthy, and if he doesn't have the talent around him, if he didn't have the talent around him, he wouldn't be that good. Now, this will be the question going mm-hmm. forward because now he's making the big money. Now they're not going to be able to keep all the weapons around him, mm-hmm. and he's got to elevate everybody up that much more.
Yeah, he's
they think he can do it.
Yeah,
a lot of people consider him elite, but you're not so sure.
Yeah, and listen, it's probably split hairs here, but it's hard to put a guy in the elite stratosphere when he hasn't achieved those elite things. He hasn't won an MVP, hasn't won a Super Bowl, hasn't won a passing title. His team, I don't think, well, they may have won a division one year, the AFC North. But
remember, they beat the Titans when they, I think they were 10-7 when they pulled the upset and ended up going to the Super Bowl.
And the Titans were the number one team in the AFC that year. What I'm saying here is this, and I want people to understand me when I say that I think Joe Burrow is damn good. I really do. But you can't put him in the same space. I can't put him on the same square that Mahomes is on. I can't put anybody on that same plane right now that Mahomes on. There's only one guy that is on that plane, and he's not playing anymore, and that's Tom Brady. You know, so when you say elite, why is he elite? Tell me why he's elite. Because he throws these passes. He has an elite receiver. Matter of fact, he has two elite receivers in Higgins and Jamar Chase. So what else is he doing? He's a damn good quarterback. But I reserve the right to say he's not elite because he hasn't achieved nowhere near what Patrick Mahomes has. And we consider Patrick Mahomes, that's elite. Now, if you want to say Patrick Mahomes is something besides elite and put him in his own little area, then okay.
Okay. But
then do that.
And we're talking about Burrow here.
Exactly.
And arguing whether he's elite. Wouldn't you say Burrow is probably better than Love or Tua? Oh,
of course. Absolutely.
But those guys are all getting paid about the same.
Because the teams that they're on, they know that if we don't have time to go back to the well again for a quarterback, we don't have that time. That's why it's critical for the Titans to know whether Will Levis is the guy or not. Because you can't keep going back to the well. Because each time you go back to the well, that pushes you further back. Unless you get a guy like Caleb Williams, who many say is going to be the next guy. If you get a guy like that, then yeah, you can jump the line up to the front. But how many teams are going to get a guy like that?
Right. But this is, it seems like it's the mentality is either he is the guy, and if he's the guy, we pay him big, mm-hmm. or he's not the guy, and we move on. To me, there should be a middle ground, and Will Levis could well be in that middle ground.
Well, the middle ground is going
so
to
let's
be
pay
40
him
million.
Middle ground.
Well, it's going to be 40 million now.
That's
the middle ground
than
is going to be 40 million.
Million
or 45.
Okay, in the 30 to 40. But that is much, much better, mm-hmm. because then I have more resources to put good receivers around him, a good offensive line in front of him. Build a good defense.
But you still expect him to uplift your franchise because you are still paying him the most money on the team.
Right. Okay, let's get a couple more. Ron texts in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think what D-Mace is saying is quarterbacks make receivers, not the other way around. Is that what you're saying, D-Mace?
No, quarterbacks don't make receivers. I could tell you that right now. It's sort of like it's co-parenting. That's what you do. One makes the other better, vice versa. You know, vice versa. In whatever situation y'all in, one person may make you better in that situation, or you may make them better in another situation. So if you got an elite receiver and you got a quarterback that's elite, both of y'all are going to sort of uplift one another. When he's not playing well, you bail him out. When the receiver's not playing well, you find a way to get him in the game as one of those elite quarterbacks. So it's hard to put Joe Burrow in the category with Patrick Mahomes, because I'm saying Patrick Mahomes is elite. Joe Burrow hasn't reached anything that Patrick Mahomes has reached other than just making it to the Super Bowl. But in today's football, you got to pay guys almost as if they're elite.
Yes, those guys are getting paid almost the same as Mahomes or more.
Exactly. Sometimes they're getting paid more.
Right. And that's the problem. You have to avoid that, I think. Somehow these teams have to find out find a way to work around that.
Well,
they have to work
around. The Titans are in that situation now. That's why it's going to be critical and very imperative that they find out and know what Will Levis is today. I'm not talking about today, but I'm saying this season. Because they are then going to be stuck with the dilemma of, do we pay him or do we not pay him? And you're not going to be able to pay him that sweet spot of $30, $35 million. Why? Because you drafted him. And if you want to keep him as your quarterback, you're going to have to pay him the $45, $50 million.
JD in Brentwood, Texas, at 615-737-1025. JD says the NFL may be turning into the NBA, where you only have to pay, quote unquote, two or three guys on a team. Quarterback, pass rusher, offensive line. Fill in with everybody else. Well, that sounds great, but we're talking about a team of 22 starters. It's not like basketball, where you've got five or six spots where if you're smart, you can build a good team. But I think basketball is changing. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot smarter use of the salary cap than there has been in the last 5, 10, 15 years when the salary cap came in. I think people have gotten very creative with it. The MMQB podcast that we started this conversation with made a point that the max contract, the NBA fell into a lot of traps where a lot of teams were using the, quote, max contract to keep guys who weren't great players.
Yeah.
That's a mistake in a salary cap world where you're allocating a max contract to a player that's not great. The same principle is applying here, I think, with quarterbacks. Just because people are, like, scared to lose a quarterback who they know is good, but so they overpay him instead of trying to find a way to get him in the right pay grade. The right pay grade is important.
It's hard to do when guys are on their first big contract. I'm not talking about their first contract because obviously the first contract is the rookie contract. But it's hard to do now when guys are on that, when their guys are up for that next, for that first big payday. It's hard to tell them, okay, take this much. No, because they're going to be looking at it like, man, I played well. I may not be the elite quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but what I do for this team is valuable. So you got to pay me like that. You know, and you can't look at where Patrick Mahomes is and what he does for his team. What do I do for your team? What have I done? That's why you had to play Tua. That's why you had to pay Tua, because you were getting in the playoffs. Why do you have to pay Dak Prescott? Because Dak is averaging 12 wins over the last three seasons when he's underneath center. You got to pay him, whether it's $60 million or get another quarterback, but somebody's going to pay Dak Prescott.
Yes.
So you're almost forced, because you drafted him, you're almost forced to pay him, and you would have thought that maybe he would take less because you just gave him a big contract. But no, Dak wants all the money because he see all the other, and I don't blame him. I really don't. But then you know when you do that, what comes along with that.
It is a catch-22.
Exactly.
Let's say Prescott hits the free agent market and everybody who's desperate for a quarterback throws money at him and you pay him right in this range, maybe even more because you could have a bidding war and he's in the $60 million range. Well, then great. You have a good quarterback.
Think he's gonna get 60, though.
He may not,
but
he's going to get paid handsomely.
Yeah.
And then the question is, can you put enough good players around him to win big?
Because the
Cowboys haven't really won big.
No.
With him there, they've won some games.
They've won big, in the regular season.
Right. They put themselves in position, but they have not been able to have a good enough team and him play well enough to win big in the playoffs.
I think what Dak is, I'm trying to figure out, like, what would he be waiting on?
But what if you had an extra $10 million? He got paid $10 million less and you had $10 million more. Just saying
like, well, Dallas's problem, they got three guys they got to pay.
That's the last text. Two or three guys, but
exactly.
You can't build. It's hard
when
your roster's that top heavy, right?
Yeah, but you're right. But I don't think Dallas. Everybody's screaming this $60 million, and I've even said it. But now that I think about it, if no other quarterback signs this season, I'm trying to think: is there a quarterback out there that has the potential to sign a deal this season? Love has already signed his, and he was the guy everybody was waiting on.
Yeah. I think
Trevor
that's
signed
it for now.
His.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow signed his, right?
Yep, that was last year.
So
The next one is Purdy.
Yeah, the next one
after
is Purdy,
this year, probably.
But
right?
The next guy to sign a big deal would be Dak. He's not going to get $60 million because the highest paid is $55 now. He's going to get $56 million. He's going to be the average salary, he's going to be the top number, and it's not going to be $60 million. I said $60 million, but as I start to think about it more, nobody's going to give him $60 million because no one else is going to sign a contract before Dak signs his. And the person that just signed one is getting 55.3. Dak's going to get 55.5 or 6 or 56 million. He's not going to get an average AV of 60 million. I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into Jeffrey Simmons. We'll talk about what happened today on the practice field and then after here on 102.5 The Game.